Chapter 21. Fire and Iron Tempered. Blistering lasfire ripped between the two fleets, turning night to day, or some actinic version of it. Shields flickered psychedelically to the relentless volleys of cannons and torpedoes. Armor cracked as shields surrendered and broke apart, Leviathan warships shedding their scales as they bled out into the endless darkness. Battleships and escorts, nimble destroyers and diminutive fighters, engaged as two legions fought across a vast gulf of space, fueled by mutual hatred and an unquenchable desire to kill one another. Losses had been sustained by both sides, but the vessels in black livery, daubed with the icon of a white gauntlet, had the better of it. Slicks of fuel and coolant smeared the void, reminiscent of blood. Ships hung open, cold carcasses riddled by rotting wounds. Bodies drifted in frozen, aimless shoals. Debris gathered, colliding and agglomerating, a nascent graveyard of vessels that stretched for thousands of kilometres. The sons of Horus burned, and Medusan grimaced in private catharsis at the sight. The Iron Heart trembled with the sound of its heavy guns. Mass drivers spoke with thunder, sending noiseless fury into the void. A collimated lance strike from the Morlock, Sturmdrang, and Ironhelmed speared the renegade ship Bloody Victory through its magazine. Its depleted shields offered scant resistance, its battered armour even less. Something detonated within the Bloody Victory, evidenced by the titanic shudder that briefly took the hull. It limped on for a few moments afterwards, though made no attempt to attack, before its starboard engines erupted in flame. The fire died almost instantly, but not before a chunk of the ship broke away, sheared off by whatever calamity had occurred on board. Crippled, the Morlock gave it another concentrated volley, and the Bloody Victory was no more. Medusan clenched his fist as he witnessed the ship's demise. Not in triumph, he was wise enough to know they were a long way from that yet, but simply because he had to do something with the tension.
"Another put to the sword,"
said Makosa from the helm, in a self-satisfied way Medusan found distasteful and ignoble. He left his feelings unremarked, his own confused on the matter. Vulcan had demonstrated his, though. The Primarch had played his part. Medusan could not worry about his departure now. Enough already demanded his attention. As the Iron Tenth had closed in earnest, hundreds of boarding actions took place across the two fleets. Aggression would serve Medusan well now. He needed to strike, and strike hard whilst the Sons of Horus struggled to regather and counter. The Sorod and the two Junkers it had been escorting had hurt them. It was arrogance, Medusan realised. The Sons of Horus thought themselves preeminent, inviolable.
How easy to empathise with that, he thought.
How much easier to believe it. Harder to bear was the humbling that came after, and the denial that hubris had anything to do with it.
"The Gorgon sends his regards," Medusan murmured,
a knot of cold spite forming in his gut that made him a hypocrite when he considered Makosa's words again. Another volley sounded from the mass drivers. Shield flare briefly obscured the oculus. A desultory blow, nothing more. Sons of Horus died in the night black, trapped in their iron coffins. Nothing to do with all their arrogance and superiority. And Medusan forced himself to confront a fact, if silently.
"I don't need a Primarch to win this war."
"War leader,"
said Makosa, his prideful conceit colouring his tone again.
"The enemy is retreating."
Through the oculus, Medusan could see a large proportion of the renegade ships had begun to withdraw.
"Org?"
asked Medusan, his eyes narrowing but failing to discern further detail.
"They are pulling back to extreme range."
"And from there?"
"They'll be restricted to lances and torpedoes, but at such distance, efficacy will be severely reduced."
"So no threat?"
"Minimal, war leader. It could be a trap."
"Then we'll exercise due caution."
The faint stars of warning shots flickered in the distant darkness, growing brighter, but an insignificant threat, as Org had predicted.
"Should we re-engage?" asked Makosa, eager.
"That's the opposite of caution. Our father's wrath overspills into your humours, brother," said Medusan. Then the Sorgul captain bowed his head a fraction.
"We should dismantle the rest of the renegade ships in this engagement," said Org, and then turn our attention to the greater fleet.
Agreed.
A sizable host of vessels still awaited them in the deeper void, in retreat. Bloodied, certainly, but not without threat. That the Sons of Horus had divided their forces made the Iron Tenth's task easier, but not a foregone conclusion. The shields briefly flared again, untroubled.
Death throes, said Medjuson,
and knew he could finish the renegades abandoned by their comrades.
Recall our boarding parties, he decided, and tell them to cause as much damage as they can and then make egress immediately. We can finish this at range.
Org spoke up.
Lumac and Neuros claim they are nearing the bridge of the Horus Triumphant.
As well as manning the Hololith station, he also routed all Vox traffic through his helm, subconsciously listening for any chatter of import.
Should they withdraw, War Leader?
Org asked. Medjuson allowed a feral smile onto his face.
Let Lumac take it, he said proudly. We'll have the ship for our own.
An explosion lit the spinal artery of the upper deck of the Horus Triumphant, first quarter command section. Velig cried out as burning shrapnel tore into his thigh plate and pierced the ceramite. The rest embedded itself in breacher shields, walls, buttressed alcoves and bulkheads, or shredded the deck. The glare of the frag grenade faded, and darkness reasserted itself. Low-intensity lumens created deep shadows, edging silhouettes in visceral red. Shrieking toxins dulled the senses, something slightly aberrant in their tone. To those infiltrating the ship, the sound could have been mistaken for screaming. Lumac bellowed, dragging Velig back into formation, his shield the capstone in an arch of adamantium bearing down on the fortifications protecting the ship's bridge.
Advance!
Having fought through the ship, several boarding parties had converged on this section, now led as one by the Averni captain. Some 50 or so legionaries had gathered, most pressed into alcoves or sniping from behind protruding bulkheads. A force of well-dug-in defenders held them at bay. Sons of Horus hunkered down behind auto-palisades that had sprung up from hidden recesses in the deck. Barely visible, but for their glowing retinal lenses, sea-green armor plate turned dark crimson in the gloom. The renegades had no intention of giving up the bridge without a hard fight. Protected by a foot-thick redoubt of ceramite, and sitting at the apex of a long slope, they unleashed a sustained burst of mass-reactive fire in the wake of the grenade. Getting through the auto-palisades was proving difficult. Bolt shells caromed off the Iron Tenth shield wall. The salvos caused no significant damage, but stymied attempts to close on the defenders. A second shield line followed the first, 8 abreast. Their bearers had bolt pistols too, and shot through the gaps in the vanguard. A hot brass round whipped by Lumac's head, but he didn't flinch. He fired his sidearm, leaving dents in the renegades' high-walled fortifications, but achieving little else. A gantry ran around the inner wall of the auto-palisades, and from here the Sons of Horus made their stand. Lumac reckoned on 30 or so Legiones Astartes holding the cordon. Defended as they were, it might as well have been 100. Vox chatter, barely audible over the unnerving klaxon scream, filtered through to his war helm. At least 8 additional boarding parties had gained the ship and were steadily fighting their way through it. Snatches of voices he couldn't place suggested there might be more. Major sections of the vessel had already been secured, or were close to being secured. Engineerium, main gunnery decks, armory, astropathic sanctum, apothecarium, all now belonged to the Tenth and their allies. Some of the mortal defenders had put up a fight, loyal to their masters. Those who surrendered had been confined to the brig. None of the renegade legionaries had given quarter, and they were afforded none in return. Many now were either dead or restricted to parts of the ship where they could do no harm. Even so, defenders still outnumbered attackers. In order to take the ship, the Tenth needed the bridge. That meant they had to breach these fortifications and the massive door that lay beyond them. Other scattered reports spoke of more unsettling encounters, of mass suicides or strange rituals intended to achieve throne only knew what. Rumours abounded, even amongst those who had seen little of the wider war, that Horus and his men dabbled in the occult. An otherness afflicted the ship Lumac had to admit that. A symptom of its inhabitants, rather than the vessel itself, he thought. Embracing pragmatism, he chose to fight what he could see, rather than concern himself with what he couldn't. Only his forces and the few parties he had gathered on the way to it had reached as far as the command section.
"Tenacious, these former wolves," said Neuros.
He had leaned in as close to Lumac as he could get, but still needed to shout. Lumac snarled as slaved auto-turrets sprang from hidden silos in the deck. Chattering stubber fire raked the corridor, maintaining a relentless fusillade so the legionaries could reload. He swore.
"Gorgon's blood! Most of their legionaries are here, protecting the bridge. Tenacity has nothing to do with it."
The Iron Hands advanced another step. Heavy cannon slugs and bolt shells pranged hard against the shields, sparks arrowing kinetically from every impact.
"Traitorous scum,"
Lumac muttered, shoulder rammed tight into the back of his shield as the firestorm intensified.
"Bastards all,"
Neuros agreed.
"I have a healthy desire to make them die painfully. Bring us closer, Iron Brother, so we might acquaint ourselves with them."
Neuros and the Drakes stayed low and behind the second rank, a warband of variously armed Iron Hands amongst them. They had no breacher shields, but if the salamanders could get in close with their flame weapons, the fight would be over. Two further ranks followed the Drakes, but only the farthest away carried shields, held to the rear, back to back with the Iron Hands behind them as they retreated blindly towards the bridge. A strong defensive position, it had proven useful in the close, smoke-choked confines of the ship's labyrinth. It lacked expedience, however. 60 meters still separated the Iron Hand's first shield wall from the defenders. Lumac scowled, his temper rising in the hot cauldron of the corridor.
"I'll get us closer,"
he vowed between gritted teeth.
"Kernox," he bellowed, "take my shield!"
The Iron Hand pushed through from the rear rank as Lumac fell back and another took his place.
"Hold here,"
he said as Kernox met him. Lumac holstered his pistol.
"Are you about to name your sword in some insane act of heroism, Iron Brother?"
asked Neuros, hunkered beside Lumac, now he had retreated from the vanguard.
"Shall it be called impetuous?"
Lumac muttered an invective under his breath, not deigning to look at the salamander as he held out his hand to Kurox.
"Plasma gun!"
Kurox unstrapped the gun from where he'd maglocked it to his armor's generator and gave it to his captain. It was a Thunderbolt pattern variant from Reza Forgeworld, its muzzle scorched black by plasma burn. Lumac checked the weapon's power cell and nodded.
"It'll do."
Neuros clapped a hand on his shoulder.
"You might get off a shot, Iron Brother, but step beyond this shield wall and you'll be cut down."
"Mourn me, will you, Drake?"
"Who else will I mock?"
he said airily, though his retinal lenses burned with fierce intensity. Lumac shrugged off Neuros's hand.
"I don't plan on dying here,"
he said, and set the plasma gun to charge. It whined as it reached optimal, and then went beyond, threatening a catastrophic overheat.
"Not with my sword unremembered."
Holding the weapon by its strap, he bellowed to the front rankers,
"Shields up!"
And those in the second line hoisted their shields onto the first, setting them at an oblique angle, tip to base, reaching over their comrades who had crouched to help effect the formation. The whine turned to a shriek, signalling an imminent reaction. Lumac hurled the gun like a tossed grenade. It arced, high to low, less than aerodynamic, but driven by the strength of the throw, its parabola quickly lost behind the wall of stacked shields. Lumac could imagine the confusion of his enemies. The old lunar wolves had been disciplined, and the sons of Horus, who they became afterwards, had not diminished in that martial aspect. But it only took the slightest hesitation for the flung plasma gun to reach its mark. One of the renegades shouted out a warning. Too late. The power cell detonated, a reaction so volatile it could easily kill a legionary in full warplate. It killed several. It also tore an ugly breach in the auto-palisade. Lumac bellowed the charge, incoherent, wrathful. Reverting back to two ranks, the Iron Hands bulled down the corridor, impervious to the renegades' suppressing fire. They reached as far as the breach, one of the auto-turrets also destroyed by the blast, then parted to admit the Drakes. Fire surged through the ragged gap, hungry, eager. It turned molten, one of the sons of Horus who had tried to staunch it. He fought on for a few more seconds as his armor burned and smoke drooled from the eye slits in his helm before crumpling to his knees, little more than a brown smudge, slowly dying in the flames. A spear thrust came through the inferno, impaling another renegade, Umendi, at the other end of it. He hauled the warrior off his feet, roaring to brace himself against the immense weight of a legionary in power armor. Neuros hefted a power axe, gave a curt shout, and flung it into the dangling renegade's chest to cease his struggles. Fire came in Neuros's wake, the pyroclasts amongst his followers unleashing the fury of their namesake and turning the corridor into a roaring conflagration. Any ordinary warriors would have balked when faced with the terrible flames, but Space Marines ceased to be ordinary during the apotheosis brought about by the Emperor's uncanny science, and the Sons of Horus had ever been the finest of the legions. The renegades fought, even as they burned. A salamander fell, spitting blood from his mouth grill, a combat knife lodged firmly in his throat. An iron hand spun, shield arm severed from his body and left a clang noisily to the deck in his wake, as a host of bolter shells riddled his torso. Lumak's warriors emerged far from unscathed, the deaths spiteful and galling, but the Sons of Horus had the worst of it. Lumak drew his Medusan Svihander, appreciating the heft of the weapon before he engaged its disruptor field and severed a renegade's neck. The struck head had barely hit the ground as he impaled another. On he went, cutting down those who had betrayed his brethren and killed them without honour. Whether the renegades before his sword had been at Istvan did not matter. The act of righteous and murderous vengeance was justification enough. It ended swiftly enough. Bloody bodies, gently drifting smoke, and the crackle of slowly dwindling fires, a lasting memento of the deed.
"To the door!"
breathed Lumak, still drunk on anger as he finished a dying legionary with a curt downward thrust of his sword. He noticed the others did the same, choosing head and hearts for the killing blow. Just a little farther now. The door, then the bridge, and victory. It would be bloody. Neuros held one warrior down by his chest, pushing a serrated knife into his unprotected cranium as he knelt over him. He looked up through a snarling draconic mask of aspirated blood.
"Heil, brother,"
said Neuros, reaching for his culverin. Lumak had turned to urge the rest of his charges on. Only when he looked back to the door to the bridge did he understand the salamander's warning. The massive door to the bridge had begun to open. Pressure seals exhaled in a violent spray of pneumatic gases, filling the corridor with a thick white cloud. Behind it, the door continued to slide apart. It did so by degrees, layers of protective adamantium slowly peeling back in several different directions. The first panel split vertically down the middle, a second behind it diagonally, a third horizontally, until only the impeded archway of the door remained, and the hulking figure framed by it. A dreadnought, Contemptor pattern, stepped through the fog, the eye slits in its battered silver helm aflame. Sea-green armour shone dully in the light of ebbing fires, a red, omnipotent eye emblazoned on its left shoulder guard and breastplate. Chains clanked shrilly against slab-sided greaves as it walked, skulls hooked to their ends.
"Abomination," hissed Neuros.
It lunged, pistons in its arms grinding, and smashed an iron hand down into the deck with its power fist. The backswing killed another, embedding a warrior into the wall. Corpusant drooled off its mechanical fingers, blood fizzing off the energy field as it burned. Vox horns attached to its sarcophagus bellowed, the sound almost bestial. The atonal blaring set Lumak's teeth on edge and he grimaced. The monstrous war machine advanced, its stride fast and thunderous. An autocannon chugged into action, and Lumak shouted, "Whip!" Breacher shields were raised, but many of the Tenth had lowered them first to revel in their vengeance. A savage spit of flame chased across the deck, stitching high-velocity rounds up the chest of one Iron Hand, who fell, shield in hand, sawn almost in half. A second warrior in black fell, his legs mowed out from under him. Agonized flailing followed, leg stumps spitting blood. A stray round caught the Promethean flask of one of the pyroclasts. The explosion immolated the salamander and two of his brothers, their bodies tossed into the air like wind-thrashed leaves. The Iron Hands and their ever-diminishing allies fell back, retreating as far as the broken auto-palisades. Breacher shields took the worst of the autocannon fire, but the dreadnought's main threat lay in its bulk and the strength of its power fist. It tore a section of auto-palisade from the deck and used it to cut an Iron Hand in half across the midriff.
"Kill it!" bellowed Lumac,
and the roar of bolters struck up. The heavy rounds rebounded off the dreadnought's formidable armour, barely denting it. Lumac waded in with his sword, ducking a swipe of the crackling power fist that scored a heat burn across his brow and claimed the head of Velig, who had followed behind his captain. Lumac cut a deep groove with the Zweihander, but failed to penetrate the dreadnought's armoured hide. It battered him aside with its sheer bulk, and he cried out in defiance. Neuros leapt to his brother's defence, power axe crashing against a leg piston and severing it. The dreadnought staggered, venting oil and gas from the wound, abruptly crippled but still dangerous. A wild swipe of its power fist caught Neuros a glancing blow that sent him sprawling across the deck and his power axe clattering away into darkness. Two Iron Hands rushed the Contemptor, breacher shields locked together like a battering ram. The clash of metal against metal resounded, resonant at close quarters, and the dreadnought rocked back a fraction. Lumac lunged, bleeding from his side but ignorant of the pain, and drove his sword lance-like into an eye-slit where it lodged fast. Sustained bolter salvos did the rest, pummeling the dreadnought until its upper-to-lower mass ratio reached a tipping point, and it fell hard, a mythic giant struck down by a slingstone. Neuros and the Drakes fell upon it with flamers and artisan blades, concentrating on joints and cables, exploiting any crack in the dreadnought's protective aegis. It thrashed, burning within the amniotic residue of its sarcophagus, a plaintive yet rancorous wail emitting from its vox horns as it died. Lumac wrenched his blade free, as other Iron Hands and salamanders hacked the monster apart in its death throes, venting relief and anger. Viscous matter sprayed up from the sarcophagus as it cracked apart against a hail of blows, the shriveled creature within reduced to ruin. In the aftermath, the warriors from two sundered legions gazed up from their sudden frenzy and saw the door to the bridge agape, as a second dreadnought stomped across the threshold to take the place of the first, more heavily armoured than its predecessor. It clashed together twin power fists, releasing a cascade of sparks and crackling energy from the competing disruptor fields. Its voximeters bellowed a challenge.
Lupercal!
Lumac sagged in his armour. Scattered, badly beaten, with several of their brothers dead, the Iron Tenth and their allies would not win this fight. He raised his sword anyway. The dreadnought advanced, slowly at first, but accelerating into an unstoppable charge. Lumac had been too bullish. His confidence or his shame had brought about this end. He resolved to meet it as his brothers of the Averni had met theirs. Bloodily. He roared,
"Gorgon! Gorgon!"
and kept on screaming as his iron brothers took up the chant. He charged, Zweihander aimed at his enemy, a knight without his horse, a madman, ready to sell his life for a glorious death.
Lupercal!
The voximeters blared so loudly and violently it distorted the feed.
Gorgon!
Answered the Tenth, as the scattered but grimly determined Drakes took up the name of their Primarch. Lumac raised his sword aloft, a final salute. Neuros was by his side and shouted his last oath.
I name it Traitorbane! I name it Fury! And vengeance and vindicator for the glory of Vulcan, for the Gorgon!
The dreadnought's eyes burned with the promise of retribution for its fallen comrade. Drakes and Iron Hands ran on with abandon, howling the names of their primarchs and singing death songs. Only a few meters separated them all. A low detonation shook the corridor. Warriors stumbled. It presaged a ceiling collapse. Adamantium plating and other less identifiable debris spilled from the deck above. Something had bored through. It thrust the two battling sides apart. The smell of burnt metal filled the corridor, carried on an outpouring of sealant dust. A figure, descending through that grimy cloud, struck a swift blow that arrested the dreadnought's forward momentum and caved in its helmet. Barely visible in the shadows and the still falling wreckage, the figure stood before the war machine, dwarfed by it, and yet somehow also greater in stature. Voxhorns declared the dreadnought's anger and pain. It staggered, mortally wounded, arms flailing, until a second blow swept off its leg, splitting it all the way along the piston joint. Swinging two-handed, the glint of half-light briefly limning a hammer's head, the figure split apart the sarcophagus. Silence followed, disturbed only by the crackle of shorting wires and the slow blink of cooling metal. The dreadnought's struggles ceased. A last rearguard of Sons of Horus emerged from the bridge, rushing into the carnage, prepared to sell their lives dearly. Three figures, smaller than the first, dropped from the gaping hole in the ceiling and dispatched the charging legionaries swiftly and dispassionately. After it was done, they lowered their weapons and stood at the threshold of the bridge, awaiting their leader. One held aloft his gauntleted hand. He balled his fist, and it ignited, a fiery torch to light the way. A giant stood within its glow in scalloped armour of a draconic aspect, the snarling faces wrought into the greaves flickering in the red aura cast by the flames. A heavy cloak of scale hung from his shoulders, and he gripped his hammer in one armoured hand. Neuros and the surviving drakes fell to their knees. Vulcan strode to the threshold of the bridge, and then stepped aside.
"The honour is yours," he said in a chasmal voice.
Lumac regarded him, belatedly lowering his sword and then sheathing it across his back. He reached out a hand to Neuros, hauling the salamander to his feet.
"Up, Drake," he hissed. "We have a ship to claim for Medusan."
Neuros arose, unsteady at first, and humbled when he saw Vulcan and his retinue bow their heads before the true conquerors of the Horus Triumphant.
"I am not worthy of this," Neuros breathed,
as he and Lumac led the others to their victory, and nodded in fierce pride to his lord as he passed.
"They are all dead,"
said Lumac with quiet solemnity. The entire bridge crew had been slain. Even the servitors had not been spared. They knelt in a long row before the oculus, slumped forwards or off to one side, a dark wound in each of their backs where a blade had been thrust through the spine and into the heart. A bloody stain spread beneath them, still wet.
"Such fanatical devotion," said Neuros, as he stepped onto the raised command dais.
The others spread out around the bridge, weapons raised, but nothing lived to threaten them here anymore.
"Can any of us here claim any different?" Lumac replied,
though the sight of so many killed in this way turned his blood.
"Not this, Iron Brother," Neuros said softly,
noting the sigil a helmsman had tried to daub in his own blood before he had died. It resembled the eye of Horus.
"Never like this."
Vulcan entered the bridge last of all, behind his retinue. Removing his dragon helm, he looked darkly at the scene before him.
"Our former brothers in arms have fallen far."
He stooped by a female in an officer's garb, a flag lieutenant, judging by her trappings. She had rolled onto her back in death and stared upwards into the rafters of the bridge, as if looking into an unseen abyss, her eyes possessed of some final madness. Vulcan gently closed them and rose slowly to his feet.
"This ship should be razed to scrap."
"It is my war leader's will that it be taken, Lord Primarch," said Lumac with all due deference.
"Medusan will do what he will," Vulcan replied,
his retinue looking on sternly at the Iron Tenth as they came to his side.
"But it does not mean he is right. Raise the ship. No good can come of its continued existence."
Lumac had been about to reply when Vulcan slammed the pommel of his hammer into the ground. The resonant clang preceded the sudden rush of matter displacement as the Primarch and his warriors vanished in a storm of crackling light and eldritch thunder. A circle of smoke and a few diminishing motes of psychic corpuscent lingered in their wake. Neuros touched his fingers to the scorched ring of the teleportation burn and closed his eyes. Lumac knew a farewell when he saw it.
He has gone,
said the salamander, head bowed, scarcely louder than a whisper.
He may yet return, Neuros,
said Lumac, resting a hand upon his friend's shoulder. Neuros looked up from his momentary reverie and smiled, though his eyes betrayed the pain of rejection he felt.
I think not, Lumac.